Nature and Causes of Apostasy from the Gospel by John Owen. The first cause of apostasy is enmity in the mind. Continued. Having discovered this first cause of defection from the Gospel, we may easily discern what are the only true effectual ways and means of the preservation and continuance of the true religion in any place or among any people where it has been professed, especially if temptations to a revolt should abound, and the season be made perilous by advantageous opportunities. Love of the truth and experience of its power in the hearts of men will produce this effect, and nothing else will. All other means, where these have been lacking, have failed in all places in the world, and will do so again when a time of trial shall come. True religion may be established by law, countenanced by authority, have a prescription of a long profession, or be on other accounts so fixed on the minds of men as that multitude shall promise a firmest stability in the profession of it. But there is no security in things of this nature, and we shall quickly see all the hopes that are built upon them vanish into nothing. Convictions or traditions, to whose power a secret enmity is retained, may make a bluster and noise for a season, but every breath of temptation will carry them away before it. Were it not so with the most of men, had it been possible that so many nations in less than an age should fall into Arianism, after the truth had been so long known and professed among them, or that the body of this nation, after a blessed reformation, should again relapse into popery, as in the days of Queen Mary, when many who had professed the gospel cast others into flames, who continued so to do. They complained of, the popery increases in this nation, and some expressed their fears of its further prevalency, and that perhaps not without cause. And although there are several other ways in which men may and do apostatize from the truth, yet all those who take any other measure of things besides their own secular interests, with the corrupt affections of their minds and wrath, envy, and revenge, look on this as far the most dangerous as that which will be most compliant with the predominant lusts of the present age, and most comprehensive to receive the community of men. Besides, by what it has done formerly, it sufficiently instructs what it is likely enough to do again. Therefore, very many industriously attempt its prevention, as that which would prove, if it should prevail, deplorably ruinous to the nation and their posterity in it. To this end, some implored the aid of authority for the enacting of severe laws for the prohibition of it. This, according to the opinion of late ages, some suppose the most effectual means for the preservation of the truth. For if they can but destroy all that are otherwise minded, the rest of mankind will have the face of peace to them who are advantaged by it. Some write books on the confutation of the errors of it, and that to very good purpose. But in the meantime, if there be anything of truth in reports, the work is as effectually progressive as if no opposition had been made to it, and we may assure ourselves that these and such like means as these, if they are alone, will never keep popery out of England, if it should ever have an advantage and opportunity for a return, nor prevent the entrance of any other false way in religion. The youth and severity of penal laws, that is not my business, is that which is to be referred to the wisdom of our governors. But I must needs say it seems not to be to the advantage of truth, or at least not to the reputation of them by whom it is professed, that they should no otherwise be able to preserve its station amongst men. Neither can it be honorable to any religion that where it pretends to all the advantages of rights of truth, and is in the real possession of all outward emoluments and supports, yet that it cannot secure itself or maintain its profession without outward force and violence, things so remote from the first introduction and planning of truth in the world. But these things are not of our present consideration. refuting of errors, superstitions, and idolatrous practices of the Church of Rome. Books of controversy, no doubt, are a good work, useful and necessary in its kind. But when all is done, these things reach but a few, nor will many divert from other occasions to the serious consideration of them. Therefore, some other way must be fixed on and engaged in to secure the truth and interest of the Protestant religion among us. And this is no other but the effectual communication of the knowledge of it to the minds, and the implantation of the power of it on the hearts of the people. This is that alone which will root out of them that enmity to evangelical mysteries and spiritual things which betrays the souls of men into apostasy. Unless men know what they are to value religion for, and what benefit they really receive by its profession, it is irrational to expect that they will be constant in it when a trial shall come upon them. If once they come to say, it is in vain thus to serve God, or what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances, they will easily admit the yoke of any falsehood or superstition that pretends to gratify them with greater advantages. One time or other, it will be no otherwise with them, with whom this enmity is predominant. But on the other side, when God by the gospel shines in the hearts of men to give them the light of the knowledge of his glory in the face of Jesus Christ, and when they find their consciences set free by it from the intolerable yokes of superstition and tradition, and that by the word of truth which they profess, they are begotten anew to the hope of eternal life, their inward man being renewed and their lives reformed by it, that their expectation of a blessed immortality is well founded on it, and safely resolved to it, they will, through the effectual supplies of the Spirit of Christ, abide constant in the profession of it, whatever may befall them. Terms. On these experienced evidences of truth and goodness, was the gospel first entertained among men, and the reformation of religion first introduced into this nation, whose duty it is to promote them, the issue will be sad. It may be beyond what is feared. For if the body of the people be allowed to live without any evidence of an acquaintance with the power of that truth which they profess, or any demonstrative fruits of it, in a holy conversation, we may cry out, popery, popery, as long as we please. But when temptations, opportunities, and interests occur, they suppose they have surer ways and better expedients for the preservation of the profession of the gospel amongst us than its own power and efficacy. What those ways are, we need not conjecture, seeing themselves declare them continually. But they shall not be here spoken to. But it is to be feared that they may be filled with the fruit of their own imaginations when those things shall fail them in which they have placed their confidence. Therefore, if there be a neglect about these things in a ministry, others whose duty it is to promote them, the end will be sad. It may be beyond what is feared. For if the body of the people be allowed to live without any evidence of an acquaintance with the power of that truth which they profess, or any demonstrative fruits of it in a holy conversation, we may cry out, popery, as long as we please. But when temptations, opportunities, and interests concur, their profession will fall from them as dry leaves from a tree when they are moved with the wind. The apostle tells us that those who went out from them were not of them, for if they had been of them, they would have continued with them, 1 John 2, verse 19. Among them by the profession of the truth, or they could not have gone out from them, but they were not of them in the participation of the power of the truth, a communion in it with the Father and the Son. For if they had, they would have continued with them, that is, steadfast in their profession. This is that which ought to be fixed on the minds of all persons concerned. If all that are zealous for the truth of the Protestant religion, or are obliged, what lies in them to provide for its preservation. When things are come to the appointed season, when they are issuing in that period which they have a natural tendency to, all other expedients and devices will be of none effect. A diligent communication to the body of the people through the dispensation of the word, or preaching of it, of the power of the truth they profess and all its blessed effects, whereon they will have an experience and witness within themselves of the reasons why they ought to abide constantly in its profession, that will alone secure the continuance of the gospel in succeeding generations. All other means will be ineffectual to that end. And so far as without this, they are or may be effectual, it will be of no advantage to the souls of men. There is a danger at all times of a defection among professed Christians from the truth, has been before evidenced. That this danger at present has many special circumstances, rendering it dangerous in a peculiar manner, is in like manner acknowledged by all such as call the things into serious consideration. And it will not, I presume, be denied, but that every man, according as he is called and warranted by special duty, is to his utmost endeavors for the prevention of a revolt from the truth. The whole inquiry is, what is the best means and way or expedient to be used to this end? And this, I say, is only by the diligent ministerial dispensation of the word, with such an exemplary zeal and holiness in them by whom it is dispensed, and all other things requisite to the discharge of that work, as may reconcile the hearts of the people to evangelical truth, beget in them a delight in obedience and implant the power of the word in their whole souls. Lack of this was that which lost the gospel in former ages, and will do so wherever it is, in this, or those which are to come. And I shall not, in my own thoughts, blamably digress from my present subject, if I confirm this opinion with some few obvious considerations. For first, the only way which God has ordained, and which he blesses to this end and purpose, none will pretend, as I suppose, that God has appointed any other way to bring men to the profession of the truth, but by the preaching and dispensation of the word alone, when they are wrought upon, or convinced by it, so as to give up themselves to the profession of it. It will be hard to find an ordinance of God of another kind for their preservation in it. When the apostle took his last farewell of them who were converted by his ministry at Ephesus, he commended them to the word of God's grace, which, as he judged, was able to build them up and to give them an inheritance among all them, which are sanctified, Acts 20, verse 32. And would think it were a more difficult work to convert men from Judaism or paganism or any false religion to the profession of the gospel than to retain them in that profession when they are initiated in it. For in that first work there are all sorts of prejudices and difficulties to be conflicted with, and not the least advantage from any acknowledged principles of truth. But as to the preservation of men in the profession of truth, which they have received and owned, the work on many accounts seems to be more expedite and easy. If therefore the dispensation of the word, as it is God's ordinance to that end, has been a sufficient and effectual means for the former, what reason can be assigned that it should not be so for the latter also, without further force or violence? It will be said that the first preachers of the gospel were furnished with extraordinary gifts, in which their ministry was rendered effectual to the first conversion of the nations. But now those gifts have ceased. The efficacy of the ministry does so also, and therefore stands in need of such outward assistance as the former did not. I say, for my part, I wish it all the assistance which those to whom it is committed can desire, so that no force be offered to the consciences or persons or men. But why shall we not think that the ordinary gifts of the ministry are sufficient for the ordinary work of it, as the extraordinary were for that which was extraordinary? To speak the truth, the difference lies in persons and the discharge of their duty, and not in the things, gifts, or duties themselves. Where all those who are called or profess themselves to be called to the preservation of the truth of the gospel and the work of the ministry is conscientiously diligent in the discharge of their duty, is well fitted, according to the rules of the gospel, with those ordinary spiritual gifts which are necessary to their work and calling, did it fully represent the design and nature of their message to men in a holy conversation, as those first appointed to the conversion of the nations were and did, according to their larger measures of grace and gifts, the work would have a proportionate success in their hands to what it had in the beginning. But while those to whom this charge is committed neglect the use of this means, which is the ordinance of God to this purpose, that the truth of the gospel be preserved amongst men, whilst either they judge that the principal end of their office is to capacitate them for secular advantages, and to give them outward rest in it, with the enjoyment of those things which to the most in this world seem desirable, and therewith think fit to betake themselves to other expedients for the preservation of the truth, which God has not appointed, nor sanctified to that end, it is no wonder if faith and truth fail from amongst men. Paul foresaw that a time would come in which some men would not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, who should turn them away from the truth, and turn them unto fables, 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4. And we may see what course he prescribes for the prevention of this evil, that it might not proceed to a general apostasy. It must also be observed that the advice he gives in this case, though originally directed to one individual person who is immediately concerned, yet it lies in charge on all that are or shall be called to the rule of the ministry in the church. This course he proposes in verses 1, 2, and 5 of that chapter. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Watch in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. This is that course and way in which he prescribes for the preservation of the truth against the corruptions of men's minds and the craft of seducers. In the charge of this duty he gives with so great a solemnity and urges with so many motives emphatically expressed is manifest of how great moment he conceived it to be this way of the preservation of the truth and the salvation of the souls of men by continual laboring in the word and doctrine with an undergoing of all those difficulties which attend it is not esteemed so advisable as formerly. For what good would men's lives or preferments do to them if they should be obliged thus to labor in a sweaty kind of preaching? But if it be so, they must at one time or another be contented apart with the truth, and all the advantages they have by the profession of it. For let men turn themselves which way they please. Let them traverse their methods and multiply their counsels to secure religion according to their apprehension. However they may by this chain their idols, as the heathens did their gods of old to prevent their departure from them, and fix a profession of lies. The truth of the gospel as to any useful end of it will be no otherwise preserved in a nation, church, or people but by this means of God's appointment. This is such a way and expedient for the preservation of the truth and the profession of the gospel as none can have the impudence to complain of, or except against. There is in all places, amongst all sorts of persons, a pretense of zeal for the retaining of what they conceive to be the truth or right in religion. But the ways which, for the most part, they have chosen to that purpose have been full of scandal to Christian religion, so far from being rational means of preserving men in it, is that they are effectual to deter them from it, such as that outward force which has now been tried in this nation, as elsewhere by all sorts of persons, and wise men may easily observe what it is arrived to. In the meantime, it is openly evident that. Let the end aimed at be never so good, and the means used for the attaining of it are accompanied with much evil. What peace or satisfaction they have in themselves or the prosecutors of this way, I don't know. It is above my understanding to apprehend that the minds of any Christians can be thoroughly at ease, rejoicing in God through Jesus Christ, while they cause others to be terrified, pursued, ruined, and destroyed, merely for that which is their faith and hope in Christ Jesus. But I know not the principles of the minds of other men, the make or constitution of their consciences, nor the rules of their walking before God, much less their prevailing prejudices and interests that influence them beyond all evidence of reason to the contrary. And therefore they may have a satisfactory peace in this way, though I don't understand how. On the other side, those who are practiced upon and forced to suffer in this course of proceeding are filled with alienation from them and their profession by whom they suffer. Hence it is known what mutual animosities, hatreds, contentions, severe reflections, and dreadful scandals this way is attended with. We see at this day what clamors and contests are raised about it, what pleas are managed against such procedures, how uncouth it is to human nature to suffer all extremities for that which men are fully persuaded they deserve well in of mankind. Nor can any man give assurance but that at one time or other the wheat shall be plucked up instead of tares. As to the way now proposed of preserving the truth by the diligent, effectual dispensation of the word of the gospel to the generality of the people, who can pretend a provocation by it or take offense at it? No mortal man will be prejudiced by it in anything that he dares own a concern in. The devil, indeed, will be enraged at it. Not only is that which is designed to the ruin of his interests and kingdom in the issue, but is that in which he has no share, nor can interpose his endeavors. For he is a spirit as restless and active as he is malicious, and does not love to be excluded out of any business as it is on foot in the world. Although he equally hates the truth and the management of all men, yet in the way of preserving of it before mentioned, he can and does so apparently immix himself in his effectual workings that he is very well satisfied with it. For what he may possibly lose on the one hand in point of truth, he gains 10 times more on the other in the loss of love, peace, holiness, with all the fruits of goodness, meekness, and benignity which ought to be among men. And let him have but his hand effectually in the promotion of this loss, and have the contrary fruits to feed upon, he is little concerned with the profession of truth in this or that way of worship amongst men. Be it therefore that he is or will be enraged at this way of preserving the truth, we know that the kingdom of Christ will be no otherwise maintained in the world, but by a conquest of his rage. And for those who manage the same design with him, their wrath and envy, which they dare not manifest, will but torment and consume themselves.